Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to our city council meeting, February 8th, 2010. We're thankful for everyone's here, and if anyone in the audience would like to speak on any of the issues that we cover tonight, you certainly may do so. If you will, as we start, and you desire to stand with us for a prayer and a pledge.
Our Lord, source of all goodness and wisdom and love, give us your blessings on these proceedings that we may do your will. Empower us to use wisdom, good judgment, and patience as we conduct our city council meeting tonight. Bless all those who serve our community in whatever capacity they choose. Guide our nation, our state, and our city to do your will to serve our constituents. Be with those who serve in harm's way to protect the freedoms we so cherish. Protect our public safety personnel as they do their work to ensure a safe and secure community. We ask your special blessings on those in our community who have returned to your loving care and presence. Be with those in our community who need special help to deal with personal afflictions of themselves or family members and friends. We pledge to remember them in our prayers. We ask these things in your name, O Lord. Amen.
To the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Are there any additions or deletions necessary to our agenda this evening?
Mr. Mayor, if you don't mind, I would like to have item number, number one and number two under new business deleted from the agenda. On item number one, Councilmember Ebner, during the heavy rain we had on Friday, was out there inspecting that particular location, and the rainwater from this rain and from some other ones previous that was causing some erosion. And we have notified the developer that he will have to fix that before we put it back on the agenda. Item number two, there we looked at the plat again and noticed there was a couple of discrepancies on the plat that need to be taken care of before that really comes back to City Council. So items number one and two under new business we'd like to delete at this time.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Any other comments about the agenda?
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, sir.
I would like to add for City Council a possibly a discussion regarding the setbacks for accessory buildings. I've had several inquiries into that, and I just would like to discuss some numbers that's come before BZA and that type of thing.
Okay. We'll add that under petitions, if you will. Number one, requests. Anything else? If not, do we have a motion and a second to approve the agenda as amended here?
So moved.
Okay. Second. All in favor? Show of hands. Okay. Passes unanimously. Okay. Next item is the minutes, the consideration of the minutes of the regular meeting of January 25th, 2010. Any discussion on the minutes? If not, do we have a motion and a second?
Mr. Mayor, I move for approval of the minutes from the last meeting as written.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second, Mr.
Second.
Mayor.
Second. Okay. All right. Very good. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Under old business, first item of appointments to boards and commissions. Mr. LaDuke, please.
Yes, Mayor. We have 11 appointments. For the boards and commissions, two of which are coming up tonight. Susan DeBrule is being appointed by Councilwoman Clyburn to the Planning Commission to replace Isaac Rucker, who has asked not to be reappointed. And Karen Popchato is being recommended by Mayor Kavanaugh to the Park Commission to replace Joan Bristol.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Do we have a motion and second on those?
Mr. Mayor, I move for approval for the two appointments that are before us this morning, this evening.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, we have a second. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, ma'am.
I did ask Susan to come to the meeting tonight to introduce herself.
Okay.
If she's here, I'd like for her to stand.
Thank you for coming, Susan. Welcome to the committee. Okay, how about nominees that would come up on the agenda next meeting? Anybody have one? I do. I'd like to reappoint Peggy Penland. This is for March, but don't go ahead and do it. I've talked with Peggy to the Accommodations Tax Committee.
Okay. A reappointment.
And reappointment, yes. Yes, I'm sorry, reappointment. Anything else? If not, we'll just, okay, we'll move on. Item 2 is a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to annex property at 119 Small Ridge Street. Mr. LaDuke, please.
Yes, sir. I'm going to read it by its title. It's an ordinance to annex the corporate limits of the City of Aiken, certain property consisting of 0.25 acres of land owned by S&C Properties Incorporated and located at 119 Small Ridge Street, and to zone the same residential single-family RS10. This particular area of the city is off of Silver Bluff Road. There are several properties that are in, several that are out. Eventually, it's one of those infamous donut holes that we have. We expect every property to come in as the septic tanks continue to fail. This individual would like us to bring in their property. It's contiguous on a couple of different sides. The Planning Commission at their last meeting unanimously approved it, and so for your consideration tonight, this is the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to annex property at 119 Small Ridge Street under the RS10 zone.
Thank you, sir. This is second reading public hearing. If anyone in the audience would like to speak on this issue, you certainly may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration.
Mr. Mayor, I'd move approval of second reading of an ordinance to annex to the corporate limits of the City of Aiken certain property consisting of 0.25 acres of land owned by S&C Properties Incorporated and located at 119 Smallwood Street, and to zone the same residential single-family RS10.
Thank you.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
You have a second. Okay. Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Item 3, second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to rezone property and to approve a concept plan for the Second Baptist Church on DuPont Drive. Mr. LaDuke, please.
Yes, sir. Again, I'll read it by its title. It's an ordinance amending the zoning of real estate owned by Second Baptist Church from residential single family RS8 to planned residential PR and to approve the concept plan. We've been discussing for probably the last couple of years the plan that the Second Baptist Church has for their 40 acres. A large portion of this has been zoned for single-family housing. A few months ago, we did approve a plan for a adult care facility that would be more of a daycare facility, and then a senior citizens apartment building on this property. To accommodate those two pieces, which is multifamily and commercial, the zoning does need to change to a PR. At the last meeting, we talked about the different conditions that the Planning Commission approved at their January meeting. I won't repeat those. They're important, but none of them are really significant. The most important would probably be the design of the building would be based on the elevations and narrative, and the planning director would be given some authority for some minor possible changes to it if necessary. It did approve, was approved unanimously at the last meeting. This is the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to approve the rezoning and concept plan for a development off of DuPont Drive by the Second Baptist Church under the planned residential zone.
Okay, thank you, sir. This is a second reading and public hearing of this ordinance as well. If anyone would like to speak on this issue, you may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that we approve this rezoning and the concept plan for a development off of DuPont Drive by the Second Baptist Church under the planned residential zone.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Second. All right. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Skipping down to what's number 3 down here on the new business, approval of naming rights for Washington Center for the Performing Arts. Mr. LaDuke.
Yes, sir. In 2002, the City of Aiken, working with Aiken Corporation and at that time Washington Group, built the theater across the street along with the corporate headquarters for then Washington. Since that time, the company has exchanged hands. It's now URS. The building has the URS designation on it. At the time when Washington opened up, they gave a significant contribution towards the theater, several hundreds of thousands of dollars in donation, plus they also gave several hundreds of thousands of dollars for a much larger foyer area outside the theater. In return, they were able to use the theater up to 10 times a year. And we gave them the ability to go ahead and name the building itself the Washington Center for the Performing Arts. With the name change of URS, they would now like to see it named URS Theater for the Performing Arts. We looked in our contractual agreement. We see no reasons why that cannot be. And so we are in support of that. The only thing that we ask is that they give the ability of both the Playhouse Group and Aiken Performing Arts Group, which are the two that put on performances at that location on a regular basis, to be able to change the tickets that may already be printed. URS has agreed to that. And one last thing that I did not put in my memo here that I did want to bring up, because I brought up to a Councilwoman Price earlier today, is in 2012 will be the end of our 10-year period on our contract. And so we'll be sitting, in fact, right now we are already sitting down with the Playhouse Group concerning that contract to see about the renewal of it. Although there may be some slight changes, we don't see any significant changes. We'll be also sitting down with the URS group, and we'll be sitting down with APAG to see what, if any, other changes we may need to make in that contract. So that'll be coming back to you hopefully in sometime late 2011 or early 2012. So if there are some changes that you would like to see in it or something that you may feel is not going well, otherwise the working relationship that we've had with the corporate folks at Washington, now URS, has just been tremendous. They have put up yearly Christmas displays and maintained it and done a number of other things that have made the theater and the whole complex just that much more pleasant for everybody that goes into the building. And so I applaud them in that effort. And for your consideration tonight, this is the renaming of the Washington Center for the Performing Arts, the URS Center for the Performing Arts.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move for approval of the naming rights for the Washington Center for the Performing Arts to the URS Center for the Performing Arts.
I'll second, Mr. Mayor.
We have a second? Okay. Any discussion?
Just one comment. Roger, if you think it's necessary that we review that document that you're going through with them, I'd appreciate being able to look at a copy of it. I have no idea what it says.
Once we sit down at the Playhouse a little bit further and see what, if any, other comments or changes they have, we'll certainly get that to you. Council will have to approve it. The contract has worked well for the past 8 years, and so we don't think there will be significant changes. But this is an opportunity that is council's building or the city's building, and so any changes that we may want to see in arranged with them or others in the future, certainly we'd be open to it. Or if you hear comments, again, we got plenty of time. We got over 2 years,
sure.
But I don't like to wait till the very end to do things. So if you've heard anything in the last several years or hear anything in the future, let me know, and we'll try to get those incorporated into it, and I'll get you a copy of that document sometime.
Given the state of the economy, I'm not sure we ought to be in any rush to make a decision so far in advance. But
I just want to make sure we don't incur any costs as a city, just in case there has to be some signage changes along the way.
Yeah, any changes that would have to be made are going to be made by URS. Okay. The only other change is that, as I mentioned, I know the tickets through this season, and the season for the Playhouse and APAG ends in the spring. We wouldn't want to see them have to have any significant change or cost in that. I doubt if they've made any ticket changes or printed anything, so there should not be any problem as far as next year's going is concerned. But we'll work with Mr. Keith Wood out there and take care of that if we need to.
Okay, very good. We have a motion and a second. All in favor? Show of hands, please. Passes.
Abstention.
Okay. It passes 6-1 abstention. Okay. Item 4 is approval of the use. I'm sorry.
Keith had a comment.
Keith, I'm sorry. Yes. I wasn't looking at you.
Could you come?
You want to come up here,
please,
so
Keith,
we could get you on tape?
Okay. Plus, they want to see you on TV here now. Smile.
This will be brief. Good evening. My name is Keith Wood, and on behalf of URS, I'd like to say thank you for allowing us to change the name of the building. The timeline will be around March, and I just want to emphasize the question and the reply from Roger, and that is any cost will be incurred by URS, and we'll make sure we stay with the current architectural design, and there's no major changes to the look of the building. Okay.
Keith, I know that without sounding self-serving, and you don't want to do that, I know, can you state, based on the investigation today, with what we contribute to the economy, the number of employees that we have?
Well, it's an interesting question, Leslie. URS is probably, it's interesting. We're a company that's not well known. We're a Fortune 500 company with a major part of our business being based here in Aiken. Global Management Operation Services is about 19,000 strong. All that's being managed right here in your downtown office location right across the street. We represent about 3,000 employees here in Aiken, 2,000 being at the site through Savannah River Remediation, another 1,500 being here through Centennial in our corporate office with Safety Management Solutions. So I'm not so sure we do a good enough job in marketing ourselves and making sure everyone aware of what we represent here in Aiken, but we are a major presence in the economy through our payment and taxes, through our employment base, as well as our lease costs. So appreciate you asking the question. It allows me the opportunity to make sure everyone's aware of that.
Thank you.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Keith. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Wade Brody, 422 York Street, Southeast. I speak for Wade Brody this evening rather than Aiken Corporation, but having worked closely with Washington Group and URS, I want to tell you, if you don't already know, that they are Aiken's best corporate citizen, without a doubt. Thank you.
Thank you, Wade. And thank you, Keith. And pass it on that we appreciate all that URS is doing in that community. If you will, pass that on to the bosses, please. Okay, item 4, approval of the use of TIF funds. Mr. LaDuke, please.
Yes, in 1995, City Council approved the TIF district, Tax Increment Financing District, which includes about an 8-block area. These improvements that you've seen over the years included streetscape work, the traffic poles that we have up. There's not just wires, just back in the 90s, there was just wires going across. There was nothing that the signal heads hung from other than those wires. Some of the furniture, some of the areas on Newberry Street. There's just been a significant number of things that City Council has worked on through the TIF funds. We've been very conservative on the spending of this. Just 3 years ago, when we met with the finance department, we were hoping we could, we figured we were going to break even, maybe make a little bit of money extra that we could do some additional things. 2 years ago, it looked like we'd make definitely more than break even and make some money. And then this year, when we sat down with the finance department, it became apparent as we made the very last payment that we'll have approximately plus or minus $800,000 to go ahead and use for some additional projects. At the very end of the last meeting, I did mention to you a couple of projects that we would like to see completed. Or some changes made as far as the use of this money. And I'm bringing two of those to you tonight, and then the what we'll do with the remaining funds, we'll come back to it at a future date once we have a little further knowledge and understanding about the projects and the amount of funding that would be needed. And I'll probably give you a cafeteria plan, which will list several projects that will add up more than the $300,000 approximately that's going to be left over, and then you can decide how you want to go ahead and use that money. It's got to be spent in the TIF district. We'd like to see the projects, if not completed, at least started before the end of this fiscal year, which ends June 30th, because that's when the TIF funding will end during this fiscal year. The two projects that we're bringing to you tonight, when they're being brought to you for your approval, because they are not in the budget, and any time we have a budget change over $25,000, they do go back to City Council for amendment to the count, to the budget. Those two would be, number one, that we go ahead and make our final payment of approximately $300,000 to the property that is out the back wall of this building here. If you recall, a few years ago, we purchased where the PAC office is now and the land surrounding it for about $900,000 to be paid over a three-year period. The last payment's due at the end of this year. And so sometime at the end of this fiscal year, the beginning of next fiscal year, we'd cut a check for the remaining amount for that. The other project is the land that we purchased. It used to be an old gas station and then a car repair shop at the corner of York and Richland, the northeast corner of York and Richland. That cost approximately $239,000, and we took those funds from our open space line item account, and we'd like to go ahead and refund that line item account so there would be approximately $1 million in that account for future use. So tonight we are asking that you give approval to spend money out of our TIP fund for the expansion, the land for the expansion of the municipal building at Newberry and the alley, and then the repayment of the loan from the open space funds of $239,000 for the park at the northeast corner of York and Richland Avenue.
Okay. Do we have a motion and a second?
Mayor, I move that the City Council approve a TIF district distribution as stated.
I'll second that, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Discussion.
I just have a question. Can a portion of this fund be used for the downtown traffic light improvement, or at least that portion that's within a TIF district, or is that money already?
It's been spent, but we could certainly reimburse this fiscal year's budget for the funds that have already been spent. Primarily, the only money that we spent was for light poles, Larry.
That's correct.
We some of them were the ornate light poles that have the base that flares out at the bottom and is fluted. Those cost a little over $1,000 a piece. Or what are they at now?
About 800.
Okay, they're about 800. And then the other ones were the fiberglass whips that just has a little acorn top. Those are significantly less, but we had to 30, 40 of them that we had?
Yes, sir.
I can't remember the exact number. We had to give the state highway department, because all they were going to put in was, they weren't going to put anything attractive at all. We wanted to have something that would better match what we had out there. So we have probably $20,000 plus in poles that we could be reimbursing.
Well, just a thought for your cafeteria plan.
But that certainly could be used for that.
Okay.
Go ahead. Sorry. You mentioned we're replacing the $239,000. What did we use the money for, the first $239,000 to replace the funds?
The local option sales tax that was approved by the voters in 2004, at the general election in 2004, there was a line item in there of $1 million to be used for open space or green space projects or purchase of land. Since this was going to be a green space or an open space because we're making it into a park, we purchased the property at that time for $239,000. I recall, I'm not even too sure it was in the minutes, but I recall Councilwoman Clyburn mentioned at that time if there was a possibility in the future of ever reimbursing that fund with surplus funding or other funding, she would like to see it reimbursed so that we could make ourselves whole for that project. And this was the first opportunity we had, so we'd be replacing the funds into the local option sales tax line item again. So it'd be back at that $1 million. We have not spent any other money otherwise for open space.
So are we in the habit of replacing, keeping that hold of $1 million? Is that what we're trying to do? I'm not.
No. Sure. It was just an opportunity to be able to reimburse that account so that we could use it for other open space projects. Now, we wouldn't have to. We could. It was a very legitimate expense at the time to use it for that project, open space. And if we never reimbursed it, there's nothing we did that was improper or anything else. We just, at the time, it was mentioned, and so I brought it back to you at this particular point in time, saying that this is a way that we could go ahead and reimburse those funds, back that $1 million.
But this, as far as being able to replace that money that was used, is the only opportunity in which we have to do that within this TIF district.
That is correct. Now, I mean, you could certainly keep it $239,000. That means it would be $761,000 is left in that account. We could certainly keep it at that and then take this $239,000 and use it for other things in the TIF district if you wanted to.
I was just asking the question. So, I wasn't sure what the policy was going to be in the future for replacing monies that would...
No, this is the only one, and I only brought it back to council because Councilwoman Clyburn asked at that time. I don't know if she even remembers it because it was many years ago.
It was, and...
Well, it's just a good idea. We said we wanted to have $1 million for the green space and there. And so we've got the money, so why not put it back so we still have $1 million there.
Question, Ms. Ledoux. You mentioned about the spending some of the TIF money in this fiscal year. Does it all have to be spent, or you just have to start spending the other $300,000?
We would just like to clean up the account, if at all possible. And if it's not going to be spent, we'd like to have it at least obligated so that we know what the money's going to be spent for, you know, what are we going to use it for.
So then you're going to have to come back to council pretty quick then if we have to do it by
yes,
July.
Yes, I'm hoping that in one of the meetings in March we could go ahead and give you... It'll be more than one project that you could, it'll probably be several projects that you could choose from.
So that's 261.
We're not going to know till later this year exactly what is the final amount that we'll have in this fund. In fact, some of the money, Kim, probably we won't know until it's people just are paying out previous year's taxes. So it probably won't be till December before we'll get an exact accounting of that fund.
Thank you.
How long can we keep the open space account at $1 million? Do we have any plans today to spend it in the future? Do we have an idea how big the scope of our investment would be?
If council recalls a meeting or two ago, we got into a lengthy discussion concerning large tracts of land, primarily in the horse district, and how do we preserve those large tracts of land using, again, because that is open space, that might be one way that council might want to consider using some of those funds to maintain through some kind of contractual agreement with the owners that property, and this could be a means of doing this. So I think you're going to hear something fairly soon. Since that time, a couple meetings have been held. There's another one going to be held this week, and maybe I'm being a little overly optimistic, but I feel that we might have a proposal back to you in the next few weeks on at least one piece of property And if we get that one covered, then that might be the foundation for the other properties.
Great. Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? If not, show hands, please. All in favor? Okay. Passes unanimously. Item 5, approval of City Council goals for fiscal year 2010 to 2011. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. At the Horizons, the last thing that City Council covered was to develop a set of goals. We separated them this year a little different than what we've had in the past to get what I would consider a little bit more manageable for staff. And so we put them in two different categories. One was short-term goals. Those would be goals that a larger amount of effort will be placed during this next year. For us, the year basically starts July 1, although between now and July 1, if we have an opportunity to move forward with any of these, we are taking advantage of it. The other goals, which we put in the category of continuing goals, are ones that we have had for several years. They're no less significant. But they are goals that we have already started, and all we're doing is continuing in the same vein or path. Those are stormwater problems in Hitchcock Woods, the continual Northside revitalization, support of the Savannah River site, support of the character program, continuing the work that we're doing in Carlson Park, and then our wellness initiative. So those are on the way. Those have been moving along fairly well. In fact, I could tell you that the first house in Carlson Park will be completed in the next few weeks, and the closing should take place within that same time period, and we're going to bring it in under budget. So we're real happy about that. That's always a good thing to, most importantly, bring it in under budget.
For a city employee.
And it's going to be a city employee that's going to is purchasing it. So it's almost like a trifecta win there. The short-term goals are ones that we will be doing more concentration on. So because that reading, let me read these. And as we go through, if there's any changes that you'd like to make. And then, of course, if there's any additional goals that you want, we could certainly add it to this list. Goal number one, update the city strategic plan and develop new ideas to enhance our historic family, business, and green cities. Any thoughts, changes? Okay. Number two, begin construction of the Doherty Road connector to Publix. This has been there for a number of years, but we felt like this is the year maybe we could go forward.
Is that realistically a short-term goal?
Well, at least getting the land or the property, I would certainly think it would be a short-term goal. And once we purchase the property, within 3 to 6 months, we could probably have a set of engineering plans that could go out for bids. So, yes, I believe it.
Are we in discussions with the owner of the property? Or
we have been in the past. We haven't at this point in time. I was going to wait till this meeting, and if you say yes, then we'll ask our folks to go visit him one more time.
Okay. Thank you.
Item number three, select capital improvement projects that are appropriate for the next local option sales tax city list. Finalize a date for them to be put on a ballot for public vote. This will be coming to you next week. We'll be sitting down with, I believe it's six different entities, starting a little bit after 5 o'clock. And you'll get a memo, by the way, this week as a reminder, and then listing the times for those. Four, continue the succession management program. Identify in-house talented staff members who wish to advance their management career paths. Encourage program participation by minority staffers. One of you, I believe it was Reggie, asked for some information. So I handed out to each of you a memo I got from Kenneth Cook today, which gives a little bit more information than what was discussed at our meeting at Horizon. So you could look at that, and then if you've got further information or questions, certainly feel free to give me a call on that or email. Number five, continue to provide public access to city information and documents. And I believe we had some possible questions or changes to that?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I focus primarily on the budget because we discussed that at length at Horizons, and the suggested change I have is as follows. Consider significant changes in the presentation of the annual budget to make it more transparent and easier to understand by the general public. For example, each bit should include a narrative of each city department to reflect changes in the number of employees, overtime costs by sections within each department, explanation of costs increased greater than 5% by section, decreases or elimination of costs from the prior budget, and corresponding increases greater than 5%. We talked about a narrative in the beginning of the budget that hopefully would address this concern, and I've been assured we're going to have some citizen input as we go through the budget this year. So I think if we're able to do this kind of goal, if we're able to achieve it, it will go a long way towards increasing the visibility and understanding of the budget. I don't know how you feel about having to prepare that kind of document.
It would add probably about 40 pages or so to the budget. You know, if council wants to be able to read those things, we could certainly put it in there. There's about 40, and there might even be more than 40 divisions, and so each division would be looking at separately. I know in Public Works, when I was the director, what do we have, about 13 divisions in Public Works alone?
Counting the industrial parks, which are very simple divisions, I have 16 divisions.
16, I know Public Safety, I believe, has 6 now, and so, I mean, it would add about 40 divisions, so probably about 40 pages. So
okay.
It might even have more than one page.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
If that's what you...
It's what I would recommend, but I'm certainly the rest of the council may have some comments. I didn't address the issue of transparency. We've gone a long way with that. I think Richard's still working to make it a little bit easier for citizens to look at the budget backup that we get in our packets. And we've come a long way and with the crime stats information and the check register, which I think is readily available. But I know Richard's continuing to work with IT to improve that process.
Well, I certainly don't have any problem with showing more information if it's helpful. How long does it take to do that? Have we got time?
I mean, it's going to take some time. It's just hard to say. I'll probably put it in bullet form. And again, you'll understand it, but you probably, a lot of times, we won't understand it. This year, there's probably not going to be near as much as there would have been last year. Last year, we cut probably at least half the line items by 5, 10, 15, 20%. This year, it may not be so bad because I'm not expecting very many increases at all. So the 5% up or down, we'll probably have more down than we'll have up. But last year, it would have probably added maybe 100 pages to the budget because we had some major, major significant decreases. And the overall budget was down by 8%. So you can imagine each budget or division probably has about 50, 60 line items. And so you could have easily had 30 or 40 bullets per division, and like I said, there's probably 50 to 60 divisions in the budget. So I'm not too sure people read it, but it's there for information.
Well, that's the frustration. You don't have a sense of how many people read it, but for those who are interested in it, it certainly should be available if we find that. It doesn't get the attention from the citizens that it should, then obviously we can reconsider.
I'm not too sure what it's going to show anybody. That's my only question. I mean,
well, these things, the budget as we look at it, just is a compilation of numbers. It mm-hmm. it doesn't say how many public safety officers we have, how many people work in public works, how many are in parks, recreation, and tourism.
Does. I mean, there's a whole section. There's a yellow section that gives every division how many people were requested and how many were approved, how many sergeants, how many captains.
I need to go back and look at it then.
There's probably about 20 pages on personnel. But again, we're here to go ahead and provide whatever council wants in the budget.
Well, summarizing them by department then should be relatively straightforward.
Well, I'm wondering, Roger, Mr. Mayor, whether restructuring, because that information is there, but it's in a different section. And as we, did we not comment that this is online, or the budget is online already at our last meeting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is online.
So it's there for folks to review. So the transparency is present. You have to know which section to review, and possibly something stating which section has whatever information folks may be looking for. And I don't know whether, Roger, have you received a lot of questions coming to you regarding folks not being able to find information? I'm just trying to get at the source of the questions and what we need to do to resolve some of the issues that you're bringing to.
I laugh almost concerning this, because in the 12 years, and I don't know if this is good or bad, in 12 years I don't know if I've had any questions other than a few questions by council members, which is a good thing. It's also a bad thing, because maybe they're not asking the questions because they can't figure out what questions to ask.
Right.
But it's also a good thing that, you know, hopefully there's that trust level in there that what we're doing is correct. What we have in the budget, again, there's about 15 pages of a preamble narrative. Then we have the numbers of expenditures. Then there's a yellow section in there for the general fund that Sarah would be probably about 12 pages long, that would give every department and division within the department as to what title they have and how many are there, and then gives a total dollar amount, how much you're spending within that division for those personnel. Now, it doesn't give each line item for each one, but it gives a total. So like public safety, if I recall correctly, the patrol, which has about 100 individuals between patrol and fire suppression, it gives all the various individuals how many captains and lieutenants and sergeants and corporals and PSOs, and then it gives all the firemen, and it gives the cadets, and et cetera. And then at the very end, I'll say $2 million, or whatever the amount is, for those individuals. Then gets capital. Then we have about 15 pages of capital items that we're purchasing, whether it be vehicles or equipment. I believe it will even get down to building improvements, anything that's of a capital nature for general fund. Then we get into the utilities and do the same thing all over again. Expenditures, personnel, capital. Then we get into the minor funds, anywhere from the theater across the street to accommodation taxes, to our capital projects taxes, to the victims advocate, to all of the industrial accounts we have, to the north side accounts. But then we get into some really minor ones like home funds. We got funds now set up for ISO funds and drug funds, and you know, so like I said, we have lots of different funds there. Most of them we probably wouldn't have any of these, you know, stuff, things that you were asking for here, because there's not going to be a lot of significant changes on them. So you asked the question, Mayor, is how much time? It could be probably the first time through, it might be 40 to 80 hours. Subsequent years, it might be down to 20 hours. In a year or two from now, it might even be a lot more pages and more items, because as all of a sudden we start having increases. I remember one year we had gas go up and we had electric go up. So there's probably, you know, 30 divisions that have an electrical account and gas account. So each one would have to show as we list those items. But again, once you got a format set up, it wouldn't be as hard in subsequent years as it would be now. It'd be easier if there was some way within the budget, and maybe the way of doing it would be not in the preamble, but as you go into the various budgets, again, we have goals and objectives for every division that's there. So we list the goals and divisions, and then we could have a page or two showing pluses and minuses. Maybe that'd be the way of doing it. But again, somebody's going to have to search through this to look and find it.
Well, I mean, if you have a better idea, understanding the concept of trying to make it more visible to the community. So, I mean, yeah. If you have a better idea, that'd be fine. I'm not hard and fast on this. This is, so to speak, the first offer, if you would. It's just a sense of what I think ought to happen to the budget, so it's easier to understand.
Yeah.
Dick, could I suggest, and perhaps you've already talked to Roger separately on this?
I had not had a chance to talk to him.
There's some things in the budget that he says are there
okay.
that you're asking about. Would it be proper here to maybe get with him?
I would be more than willing to
and
do that.
And then we can do whatever comes out. Yeah. I mean, whatever.
We don't have to approve these goals tonight anyway, but yeah. That's fine. I would do that and bring it back next meeting.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Mayor, if I may say one other thing about the budget. In the years that I've been on council, it has always concerned me, and I have verbalized this, that on the night that we pass the budget on first and second reading, there's usually
no one here.
And I think that we have been transparent, and I think we are working to be even more transparent. And if I have always enjoyed reading the narrative that you put in the front of the booklet that tells you where we're cutting and where we're adding. And it's been clear if you follow the yellow pages and go on back, you can find other things that you need to know. I just hope that in our efforts to make it more transparent, that more people will actually look at it and have input on it before we pass it. It's easier to do it before we pass it than to pass the budget and then come back and either want to redo it or complain about what's there. I really do think that more citizens should be present with questions during our discussion when we're passing the budget.
Mm-hmm. If they have questions.
Right.
I mean, how many times have we had to come back and change a budget after we did it and say, oh, my goodness, we missed that or
right.
yes, I don't remember any time. That doesn't mean there isn't something there that maybe needs to be changed.
But it also means that if they're here, they can probably see things that we're not looking at. And I remember the time we put a really hot agenda item on the agenda and a controversial item on the agenda. And when people got through with that controversial item, they all left.
And the budget was
the next item. And I just I would like to encourage them to be here when we pass the budget.
Well, I think we all feel like we want to make it as transparent as possible.
Right.
And if that takes 40 more pages or 80 more pages, then
let's do it.
But let's make sure that we agree here what we want and how to do it the best way.
I'll meet with Roger
and then do it,
Mr. Mayor. I mean, one concern that I have along this line is the budget is a complicated document.
Yes, it is.
And it's going to be very difficult to simplify that to where the average citizen can understand that. I'm sure that if Kim Abney were to hire an accountant tomorrow and bring them in here, she's going to have to sit down and explain to them the manner in which the city of Aiken takes care of the books. Everybody doesn't do that the same. There's bents to every department that you go into. If you leave the city of Aiken and go to another city, they're going to do it totally different. They wouldn't be able to walk in there, even though they're an accountant, look at those books and say, I know exactly what you're doing. Somebody has to explain that to them. And if you have to do that to a professional, certainly you're going to have to do that to a layperson mm-hmm. within the community. I am in favor of transparency just as much so as anybody else is on this council. But concerned citizens, when they see something that they do not understand in the budget, first of all, if they look at it and they see something that they don't understand, we have city staff here that would be more than willing to sit down with that person, walk them through it, so that they can understand the item that they're looking for, or help them find what they're looking for within the budget. I think in doing that, rather than trying to give somewhat of an overview that may even confuse them more and create more problems, that it would be best, and you know, we looked at during Horizons the smaller overview of the budget that comes out each year, that's not the huge document, that just has a general overview of the city, our finances, where we were last year, where we're going this year, the changes, the what's up, what's down. It's all there in an overview form. And then if this citizen has questions, let them come to city staff and get the correct answer, not just one that they read and assume is right. And I think we've seen some of that happen here recently. And I, you know, if there's any way that we can cut down on that, then that's what we need to do. We need to have the right answer. Find out exactly where this is going. What was the budget 5 years ago? What is it today? What are the correct answers? And here it is. You sit down with one of the city staff and they'll show you. And to me, that's the way, if you're interested in finding out more about the city budget, is the way in which to do it, rather than providing a little bit more information to get more folks confused about what they're looking at.
But that said, Councilman Wells, it still should, the document should stand on its own. It shouldn't be that complicated. We've had the recent issues where people have looked at it and same data and come to different conclusions. We need to work to remove that and make it easier to understand. That said, there'll still be questions that people will have to come to staff.
Councilman, you cannot simplify that to where any two citizens is going to be able to look at it and come to the same conclusion.
I'd like to try.
Oh, Mr. Mayor, what I'd suggest when they, Mr. DeWar and Mr. Ledoux have their meeting, we ought to have a sample sent out to us to look at before we revise everything in the budget. So I assume they were going to do that, but that would be good to do one or two divisions rather than 60 of them.
Right.
I agree with
good
that.
Point.
Right. I agree.
I will say this. I think, Don, I appreciate your comments. I think if a citizen has a question and they come to the right person, they ought to come to the city council, they ought to come to the city manager, assistant city manager, and ask the questions. They can probably get their answer within 10-15 minutes. I've had some questions in the past and asked Roger about it, and by the time we finished talking about it, he's pulled out four or five books. He says, well, this is what this says, but let me show you how we got there. And one thing leads to another, and it's all there. It's just a matter. You can't put all of that in a big old book. So it is somewhat complicated, but you do have to read what it says on the budget as well. You know? Okay, did we satisfy that issue?
We don't mean to make it complicated, believe me.
I understand.
And so, again, what I'll sit down and see if we could go ahead and find something that might be able to make it more transparent. I will have to say that since we've started putting in our financials on the website, other than one, maybe two council members ever calling me up, at least I have not gotten a call from a citizen on the financials that have gone on the website. Doesn't mean that they're not reading it, and maybe the way that Kim has them listed is just so clear that everybody can understand it. But again, even those are not easy to understand at times. Again, it's something that I think everybody wants, but probably there's very few people that will look into it. And but we're here to serve the citizens. That's our only job we have.
The important thing is for us to be able to convey that the information is there, where the information is. And as it's been so well stated, they know that they can always call City Hall to get more information.
Right. Okay, we need a motion and a second.
Well, can I go through the last three here?
Okay, just a minute.
Oh, you're not finished yet.
Oh, number five.
That's what I was waiting to read.
Okay. Right. Number six is pursue establishing a youth activity center and establish a focus group to monitor its progress. That'll be coming up at the next meeting for council to decide how you want to pursue it, and will give us guidance further as to what direction you may want to go in. Number seven, identify appropriate procedures and projects to strengthen the integrity of our utility infrastructure. Develop a timeline for inspections, repair, maintenance, replacement, and installation of new and improved utility infrastructure.
Mr. Ledoux, is some of the TIF money in the particular area where the TIF is expendable, can it be put against this, or is this not considered a capital project? It's capital maintenance, but not a capital project.
When the TIF was drawn up in 1995, it talked about streetscape. When I was when this number seven was identified and worded here, and this is good that we're talking about it, when I was thinking about utility infrastructure, I was thinking water and sewer and storm drainage. And the TIF does not identify, they're talking about more curbing and sidewalks and benches and that type of structure above ground, not below ground.
Thank you.
And what we're going to do in number seven is similar to what Larry mentioned to you at the last meeting, is we're going to be having things in the budget like the SSES, Sanitary Sewer Evaluation Study. From that, we will then go ahead and identify high priority, low priority, and come up with probably a five-year plan as to how we will go ahead and attack all those things. So we'll have a blueprint ahead of us, same thing with equipment, manpower, as to how we'll go ahead and work on improving, especially the sewer line in those areas. Any other thing on number seven? Okay. Number eight, develop workable strategies for preserving our equestrian areas, including large parcels held in trust. And as I mentioned earlier, that is being pursued even right now. So those are the short-term goals, Mr. Mayor. If we could add more, we could take away whatever the council would like.
Question. Going back to number seven on the short-term,
doesn't that by necessity identify a continuing goal? Because what the results of the study are going to identify are going to be one of the continuing goals, and I expect that would take probably 3 to 5 and possibly much longer than that to get all the infrastructure, the below ground infrastructure straightened out.
And Councilmember Homolke, you're absolutely correct in this. This is not going to be done in 1 year. Next year, I would see that item number seven would go down in the continuing goals and say something to the effect that we're going to continue the inspections, repair, maintenance of these items. I only had it up in the short-term goal that year number one, we're going to start identifying and working on those, and then it'll move down to continuing goals for the next several years thereafter. But you're absolutely correct.
Okay, do we have a motion and a second now for approval?
Well, I didn't think we needed to approve these tonight. I mean, they don't really need to be approved. The next time we're going to see them is in the budget.
Well, they need to be approved, let's say, in the next 2 to 4 weeks so that the staff out there can go ahead and start taking some of these, like number seven. If this is what you want, and I think we all agree that's what you want, once it's approved, then it gives Larry the liberty of putting in within his budget equipment, manpower, and the study to move forward, which you'll be then seeing just a few months thereafter. So even though these are the goals for next year, we need approval so we can go ahead and put any.
But I'm going to meet with you on number five. So
absolutely, we could hold up on this till next time.
Okay.
And hopefully we can have an answer by next meeting.
Okay.
Is that okay with you, Councilman?
Mr. Ledoux, since there's only one of them in question, can we do the eliminate one, or does it have to go as a group?
We could. If council wants to approve it the way it is right now, and then whatever changes, if there's going to be any changes in number five, we could always bring those back and amend this at the next meeting.
Sorry?
Because it sounds to me like number five is still the goal. It's just that how we go about doing it is subject to change, and I think we could go ahead and approve this and work out the details on how we are going to do number five in your meetings.
And that's fine.
Is that okay?
That's fine.
Okay. Do we have a motion and a second, then?
I'd like to move that we approve the short-term and continuing goals for 2010 and 2011.
Excuse me.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
We haven't gone into continuing yet.
I thought you read those first.
I read those first.
I'm just having a rough time tonight. Okay.
me too, Dick. I had a rough time.
I'll second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. We've got a motion and a motion and a second. Excuse me.
Were there any changes in the continuing goals?
No, but I'm going to watch this on TV. I'm going to watch it on TV to see what I missed.
It was done.
I did not read them verbatim. I just went through them and said, you know, we're going to continue stormwater work and attack the character program.
And it's quicker than the old.
Senior That's moment right. in public. Okay.
Okay, show of hands, please. All of the favor. Okay, passes unanimously. Okay, we added an item, setbacks on accessory buildings.
So. Mr. Mayor, it's been brought to my attention on several occasions, and I started looking into it, and it was early on when I was elected to City Council that we took a look at the ordinance regarding accessory buildings, and the size was of the major concern at that time. And so in looking at that ordinance, and this here again is only dealing with the setbacks for accessory buildings, not additions to houses or garages or anything like this, simply accessory buildings. And in that discussion that we had on City Council, at the time the setback was 5 feet from the property line for accessory buildings. And just in the discussion, we changed that to 10 feet from the property line for an accessory building. On a large tract of land, I don't think that would necessarily create a problem. When you're talking subdivisions, you're talking Aiken Estates, Crosland Park, Hounds Lake, even. Some of the properties there on Hounds Lake have a large front yard and a smaller rear lawn. And if you move or place an accessory building 10 feet away from both property lines, that accessory building is now pretty much sitting in the middle of that citizen's backyard. If we could just take a look at that, and over the past 3 years, 2007, 8, and 9, there's been 39 requests for BZA to hear accessory building setbacks. 95 to 98% of them have been approved. Even in 2009, with the down economy, there were 10 cases that went before BZA dealing with this 5-foot, 10-foot setback. So we're looking at 39 appeals going to BZA just in the past 3 years. I just think the City Council needs to take a second look at that. We may want to look at the size of the building and the setback. But when you take just an accessory building and you move it 10 feet from your neighbor's, from your property line, 10 feet in, sit it in a small backyard, and it just sits in the middle. When your neighbor places their accessory building, they move it 10 feet away from their property line. Now there's 20 feet away between these two. If they could be moved 5 feet away, that would still give a 10-foot clearance in between the two buildings. Some of these citizens that place these buildings there try to utilize that 20-foot of space, 10-foot on both sides, and you wind up with them putting a lot of stuff that they don't want visible in their yard, and it just makes it that much more visible from yours. So this is my concern, and so I would like for us to put on the agenda or have a discussion tonight. I can certainly understand if it were a huge accessory building, 10-foot may not be excessive. But for a small accessory building, I think 10-foot is excessive setback for that building.
Don, I would like to understand, and I don't recall right off the bat, why we made that change. There must have been a reason. Ed, maybe you can help us on this. When the change was made, some rationale as to why it was made. I think we have to be careful, thinking about changing something until we study why we changed it to start with. We're changing it back, so to speak.
Okay, I'm getting hit with this cold, so I'm not sure I have the correct answer, but it for years the setback was 7 feet. And then I believe in 99, when the new zoning ordinance was adopted, it went to 10 feet. And then it came up again 4 or 5 years ago.
3 years ago.
Three. And council talked about different distances, 3, 5, whatever, but decided to keep it at 10 feet.
Well, as I recall, there was some concern regarding citizens concerned about people putting their building close to their property line. And there were quite a few, if you remember, folks concerned about their property line, that building close, and there it's facing their property. But I don't know whether we were so hung up on whether it's 7, 5, 7, or 10 that it cannot be reviewed and looked into again.
Does this have anything relevant to firefighting, where they have to have access between the houses to be able to get to it? Doesn't apply at all. Okay.
Ed, what do you hear? Do you hear complaints about this?
Occasionally. I mean, there are quite a few variance requests for accessory building setbacks. And yes, occasionally we'll get a complaint, but I mean, it's not a lot, nothing unusual.
And are most of those, Don, I think maybe you were talking about this, most of those approved?
Yes, sir.
For variance?
I think it was just that the ones that I looked at, it was in the high 90s, 95%.
That were approved for 5 feet?
Yes.
In fact, this came to City Council just a relatively short time ago, 3-4 years ago, from BZA, because it's the highest number of reoccurring requests they get is for accessory buildings. At the time, it was, you know, what we had, we looked at not only the distance from the side and backyard, but we looked at the height of the building. We looked at the, you know, how large should these buildings be? How close could they be? Could they be all the way up to the front of your other structure? You know, we said it couldn't be anything more than 50% of the size of your main building. The height shouldn't be any higher than your other main building. So, I mean, we got involved in a lot of things. I don't know why council kept the distance on the side and the rear, because that was one of the major issues. BZA was looking for direction from council. Do you want to go back to 3 feet? Or not back, but go to 3 feet off the line or something, because that's a number of their requests. But you all chose to keep it at the 5 feet. Doesn't mean we can't revisit it, but if we're going to go back to BZA, I would not say we should ask BZA what you want. Or what they want, you need to kind of tell them what you would like them to do, and then we could change the regulations accordingly. If you'd like, we could bring this up the next meeting. I will go ahead and give you a copy of the latest one, in fact, the changes that were made from the last meeting, and then you could discuss. Because I think specifically you're not talking about the size of the building or the height of the building or how close to the road it should be. It's more what should be off the sideline or the rear lot line.
Absolutely.
So,
just a question, Ed. Do you agree that the approval rate is in the high 90%?
I have no idea. I would think that's pretty close probably, but I'd have to check.
Because that surprises me. I read the minutes every month, and Don, you and I got into the issue with the individual who bought a house, and the property was right on the 5-foot line. No complaint by any of the neighbors, but it was disapproved. And then at that same meeting, to save a tree, they approve one within 5 feet and not the 10 feet. So probably some guidance from the council would be appropriate. But it'd be interesting to know, don't need to do the research, but I'd be curious to know what the approval rate is, because as I recall reading the minutes, more get disapproved than approved.
Okay.
You
made a suggestion that you bring.
I'll stand corrected. We have a member here with us. Would you agree with it's 90%, do you think?
I would say it's close to that.
Okay.
And would you say that the majority of the issues are the distance from the side and rear lot line?
Yes, there are. There are a lot of factors, and there are the criteria that the state sets that we have to look at. Yeah.
And one of the things that, you know, the more I'm thinking about, the more it's starting to come back to me. Council came up with a distance from the two because, again, if you're going to have a blanket distance that the building could be from the side yard and the rear yard, you came with a little larger one saying, well, that's probably safe in all conditions. If they want to bring it closer, let them go to BZA. That way they can look into the particular situation. Are there trees? How? What size lots they have? Maybe they only own a 50-foot lot or something. But they can look at all the varying factors with it and make the final judgment instead of those getting too close to it. But again, I can bring that back to City Council. You could take a look at it and give some guidance, and we could then change the ordinance if you so desire. It would not be hard at all to do that.
Okay.
I would just like for us to take a look at it.
Mm-hmm. Good. You want to do that, then bring it back to us next meeting?
Mm-hmm. I think, Mr. LeDoux, if we do that, which I'm in favor of doing, I think we ought to go back, and we've got several different departments as well as commissions and committees involved. I think they need to take a look at it from what the state and federal requirements are to be sure we're up to date. Things do change on those, so and then our memories fade sometime.
Well, that information could be gotten also.
Okay.
It's 2 weeks next meeting.
Hopefully it'll be the next meeting, but it could be the meeting after that. But it'll be in the next meeting or two.
Okay. Okay. Very good. Okay. All right. Anything else? If not, we are adjourned.
Hey, John.
Did he really?